My beloved hearts, you have asked, and thus I will endeavor to give you part of the answer to your questions about the Middle East. I understand that you are concerned about the situation in the Middle East and the potential for an escalation. Yet, my beloved, I cannot say that I or the Ascended Host share your concern. For we look at the situation in the Middle East from a larger, broader, more timeless perspective. Thus, my beloved, let me attempt to help you step back from the situation in the Middle East and indeed gain at least a glimpse of the perspective we hold on this situation. The most important thing you can keep in mind is that planet Earth has been allowed to become a crossroads for life streams from many different evolutions. Originally, this planet was conceived as a protected sphere for the descent of specific groups of life streams, specific evolutions, which we have sometimes called the root races. Yet after the fall of man occurred, and the consciousness of humankind began to descend into the duality consciousness, it was determined that life streams that were not part of the original root races would be allowed to embody here in large numbers. These life streams have come from many different places in the cosmos. Even from other planets in the solar system. Why was this allowed? Well, my beloved, as I have explained throughout this website, it was the original plan for planet Earth that the life streams who embodied here would never lose their conscious awareness of and their conscious contact with their spiritual teachers. Yet, my beloved, many life streams did indeed lose that contact, and therefore they began to feel that they were abandoned by God. As I also explain on this website, the material universe acts like a mirror. The matter light will outpicture in physical form the conditions you hold in your mind, the potential is that a wave of life streams can create a downward spiral for themselves. My beloved, this occurs because all of the life streams of that particular wave, of that particular root race, hold a very similar vision for the Earth and for them being abandoned by God. This vision will gradually become outpictured in physical circumstances, which is what caused matter itself to densify until it became impossible to perceive anything beyond the material universe with the physical senses. Yes, my beloved, when the planet was of a higher vibration, people could, even with their physical senses, perceive the finer energies beyond matter, what you today call matter substance. Yet, as the consciousness of humankind became denser, the planet itself became more dense. Matter itself became more dense, and thus, most people today cannot perceive anything beyond matter substance. My beloved, do you see what happens in such a downward spiral? The life streams co-create their own circumstances, and as matter outpictures what they co-create, they forget or refuse to acknowledge that they have created the outer conditions they now see around them. Thus they become completely convinced that their vision, that they have been abandoned by God, is entirely correct, and they take their outer circumstances as proof that their vision is correct. In reality, what they see is not an objective circumstance. It is a subjective circumstance that they have created. And thus, my beloved, the only thing that can break the downward spiral is that the people change their vision. Yet, when the people have lost contact, the direct contact with their spiritual teachers, how can we reach them and tell them they need to change their vision? This, my beloved, is the central dilemma on planet Earth. The question now becomes, since the people have turned their backs on their spiritual teachers, what can possibly break the downward spiral? Well, my beloved, the only thing that can break the downward spiral is that the people change their vision. But because they will not listen to their spiritual teachers, and because the matter light obediently outpictures their vision, something else is needed to break the downward spiral, the vicious circle. What is that something else? Well, one possibility is that we allow a wave of life streams to embody on planet Earth. A wave of life streams that comes from an entirely different environment and therefore do not have the exact same vision as the life streams who are already on this planet. Thus, when these two waves of life streams interact, they will inevitably clash. And while this clashing will lead to conflict, it has the potential to break up the rigid mindset of both waves of life streams. My beloved, do you see the essential principle I am explaining here? When you will not learn from your spiritual teachers, The only thing that has a possibility of teaching you life's lessons is the school of hard knocks. And the more rigid a wave of life streams become, the harder the knocks that are required to break through their shell and make them rethink their approach to life. Thus, my beloved, it was determined a long time ago that Earth would no longer be an exclusive sphere for the original root races. Instead, many life streams from other systems of worlds, from other planets, from other galaxies would be allowed to embody here. This, my beloved, does not mean that these life streams traveled here in the physical octave on spaceships. They did not. My beloved, there are many life streams on Earth who have a sense that they came from somewhere else, from other star systems. And while some are simply deluding themselves with fantasies, there are some who are correct. They did come from elsewhere, but their souls were allowed to embody on Earth in human bodies. They were not transported here through material, mechanical means. Thus, my beloved, when you look at planet Earth today, you see that it is indeed a crossroads of many different life streams, from many different backgrounds, with many different attitudes and approaches to life. It is, so to speak, a melting pot. And the highest potential of this melting pot is that when people see the diversity, they will change their attitude. They will learn from each other. They will take the best from each evolution and build a culture that is more balanced, more centered, more harmonious. Of course, there is always a lowest potential, which is that the different life streams will focus on their differences, thereby creating conflicts between them, leading to physical warfare. This, of course, is exactly what you have seen over and over again on this planet. So, my beloved, why did the Ascended Host take this calculated risk of allowing the Earth to become a melting pot? Well, because if it had not happened, the original root races would have continued their downward spiral until they would have self-destructed. Thus, my beloved, what has happened instead is that through the breaking up of the rigid mindset of the original root races, an upward spiral has indeed been created. This upward spiral can be seen when you look at planet Earth from the perspective and with the vision of the Ascended Host. It can even be seen by those who are perceptive and are willing to look at history with the purpose of looking for timeless elements of growth and transformation. These elements can be seen in almost every culture. In fact, there are very few cultures on this planet who have not been affected by the winds of change. In some cases, one might say that change has not been for the better. But as I have tried to explain, when a certain culture is trapped in a rigid mindset, any change is actually a change for the better. For only when the rigid mindset is broken up is there a potential to reverse the downward spiral and create genuine growth. Obviously, this potential does not always come to pass, and a group of life streams, even an entire culture, can create a new downward spiral instead of the old downward spiral. Yet, I must tell you that the entire planet has entered an upward spiral that is breaking up the rigidity of the cultures around the Earth. And when this rigidity is broken up, the people are often bewildered and distraught. They do not understand what is happening. They do not see that it is a potential for growth. Instead, they see it as a threat to their traditional lifestyle, which they have somehow, despite its obvious shortcomings and contradictions, come to believe is perfect or God-ordained and therefore should be maintained at all costs. This, my beloved, is tragic, but it is an occurrence that still cannot resist the winds of change and the wheel of time. Thus, my beloved, when you look at the Middle East, based on what I have told you, you see certain perspectives that suddenly come into focus and now become obvious. First of all, you must realize that the Middle East is not one of the holiest places on earth. Jesus descended to the Middle East not because it was a holy place, but because it was one of the unholiest places on earth. Thus, he desired to bring the light where there was the greatest darkness. Likewise, the teachings, I might say the pure original teachings of the Quran, were given in the Middle East precisely because there was still great darkness. Why is the Middle East a place of great darkness? Because certain life streams have embodied there, who have come from other systems of worlds, and these life streams have a long history of warring amongst each other. Thus, my beloved, when Jesus said that he came to rescue the lost sheep of the house of Israel, he was not actually talking about the original root races on planet Earth. Jesus descended in the Middle East because he had volunteered to do a twofold mission. Part of Jesus' mission is, of course, universal and timeless, as the hierarch of the Piscean Age, which is a planetary phenomenon. This was the alpha aspect of Jesus' mission. Yet the Omega aspect of Jesus' mission was to address a specific problem that is centered in the Middle East, namely that there are 12 groups of life streams who have been allowed to embody on this planet. Yet these life streams have a long history that goes far beyond the Earth, of warring and competing amongst each other. These life streams did originally come from a system, a solar system that had 12 planets. Yet, as each of them grew in sophistication, they became increasingly rigid, and they became increasingly adept at misusing the matter light for their purposes of attaining power and control. In doing so, they even used the matter light for the purpose of warfare, seeking to destroy each other. These life streams achieved technology that is more advanced than what you know of on planet Earth today. They were able to travel from planet to planet within their own solar system, and eventually they started interplanetary wars. This eventually led the entire solar system to self-destruct, and although many of the most rigid life streams went to their second death, a number of the other life streams were scattered throughout several galaxies and solar systems. Yet, as they embodied on other planets, some of them did indeed grow and transcend their mindset. Yet, some of them fell back into the old patterns and continued their warring. Thus, it is true, as has been stated through other dispensations, that eventually some of these life streams were allowed to embody on a planet in this solar system, a planet that has now been destroyed and created the asteroid belt. Yet what has not been released to previous dispensations is that all, that representatives from all of the original 12 planets have been allowed to embody on planet Earth after the fall of the fourth root race. This, my beloved, has been done as a final opportunity for these life streams, and also as an opportunity for the life streams on Earth who had become so rigid that they were beyond reach. Thus, my beloved, these 12 evolutions of life streams were indeed what Jesus referred to as the 12 tribes of Israel. So you now see, my beloved, that although these life streams are beloved by God, it is an illusion to think that any of these tribes, any of these waves of life streams, had a particular merit or a particularly high spiritual consciousness. In reality, none of them have or had a very high state of consciousness when they came to this earth. That is why they were the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Had they had a higher state of consciousness, they would not have been lost, because they would have known who they were as co-creators with their God. Thus, my beloved, the Omega aspect of Jesus' mission was that he took embodiment in a particular circumstance in order to speak directly to the life streams that had embodied in the Middle East and represented these 12 tribes. That was why, when you read the Bible carefully, you will see that Jesus clearly recognized that there were certain limitations put upon his physical mission, for he could not give forth certain teachings while he was in physical embodiment, precisely because the lost sheep of the house of Israel were of such a low state of consciousness that he could not give them these powerful teachings. They would immediately have misused these teachings for their selfish purposes, even for warring amongst themselves. Thus, Jesus taught the multitudes in parables, the multitudes being the lost sheep of the 12 tribes of Israel, which were 12 evolutionary groups that came from far-off worlds. So, my beloved, what have these 12 tribes done with the teachings that Jesus gave them? Well, I am happy to report that over the past 2,000 years, a great number of these life streams have indeed made sincere efforts to internalize Jesus' teachings. That is why a number of these life streams are embodied in the predominantly Christian religion nations in the United States, Europe, and to some degree South America. Yet I must also tell you that most of these life streams have not let go of their rigidity. This is why you see that they have turned Jesus' teachings into a rigid, dogmatic religion, whether it be the Catholic Church or the fundamentalist or evangelical churches in the United States. This, of course, shows you that many of these life streams have not fully internalized Jesus' teaching. Thus, although they have made clear progress over the past 2,000 years, they are still a far cry from where they need to be in consciousness in order to become free of the past and take up their highest possible roles on this planet, which is that they become universal sons and daughters of God, letting go of all sense of their old ways and their old history and origin. This is the only way that will allow these life streams to set themselves free from the patterns of their past, the patterns they have been repeating now for tens of thousands of years. And of course, only when they completely overcome these patterns will they be able to transcend and make their ascensions to higher spheres of learning. Thus, my beloved, while this is good news, I must also report that there are a number of the life streams from the 12 tribes that have not been willing to transcend their old ways and their old state of consciousness. These then are the life streams that have continued to embody in the Middle East. I am not saying that all people embodying in the Middle East belong to these life streams, for indeed, some have volunteered to embody here to provide a counterbalance to the density of the consciousness of the original 12 tribes. Yet I must tell you that there is a significant number of the people in the Middle East who are embodying here precisely because they have not transcended the consciousness that Jesus came to challenge 2,000 years ago. In fact, they have become even more rigid in this state of consciousness. This, of course, is what you see has led to countless wars and conflicts, not only over the past 2,000 years, but going back beyond recorded history. Thus, I can tell you that the sands of the Middle East are indeed almost saturated with the blood of countless people, blood that has been spilled in senseless and pointless conflicts between life streams who are so trapped in the consciousness of competition and war that they cannot free themselves from it. My beloved, the story from the Old Testament of Cain and Abel does indeed have a very important message for these life streams. Abel, of course, represents a life stream who has been willing to transcend his old rigidity. This is a life stream who is willing to self-transcend and thereby flow with the river of life. That is why he is beloved by God. Cain, of course, represents the life stream who is not willing to self-transcend and who has become rigid in his state of consciousness. He is therefore jealous of the fact that Abel is more capable than himself in all ways because Abel is not the doer but is allowing God to be the doer through him. Thus, what is impossible with man, with the Cain consciousness, is now possible with God, with the Christ consciousness. This, my beloved, is what you see outpictured in the Middle East. There are life streams who have descended so far into the duality consciousness that they are angry and jealous whenever they are confronted with someone who has attained some degree of Christ consciousness. But not only are they jealous, no, they want to destroy the person who is expressing Christ consciousness because they do not want to be disturbed in their state of consciousness. My beloved, I hope you can see the insanity of this frame of mind. You see, my beloved, these people are not happy and content in their current state of consciousness. They are indeed highly unhappy, conflicted, and divided within themselves. They are divided because at one hand, their insane jealousy makes them feel that they should be better than everybody else and should receive preferential treatment. Yet on the other hand, they see that this is not happening, and they blame not only other people on this planet, but they indeed blame God for the fact that it is not happening. They are completely refusing to take responsibility for their own situation and realize that things are not going well for them because they are not willing to let go of their old state of consciousness and come into oneness with God. Yet because they blame God for this, rather than taking responsibility and transcending their own state of consciousness, they are stuck in a catch-22. They cannot free themselves from this state of consciousness. And so what you see out pictured in the Middle East is the pattern I told you about earlier, where life streams with clashing worldviews have been put together in a melting pot so that by clashing with each other, they will never attain peace, but will constantly be forced to deal with the contradictions in their old psychology. My beloved, this is indeed the school of hard knocks, and we of the ascended host would love nothing more than to see these life streams transcend this level of learning. We have done almost everything that could be done in terms of sending Jesus to the area, in terms of giving them the teachings of the Quran, in terms of renewing the Jewish religion through the Kabbalah. But yet there are life streams who insist on ignoring all of these efforts, continuing to repeat the same old patterns over and over again. And thus I must tell you that there is only one thing that has any chance of helping these life streams break the old patterns. And that is that their conflicts, that their warring becomes so pronounced that it finally becomes so obvious that people begin to see that it is their consciousness that is the problem. My beloved, when you take an honest look at the Middle East today, you will see that both Jews and Arabs are blaming each other. It is an inescapable fact that when you blame other people or God or Mother Nature for your misfortune, you have not taken full responsibility for yourself and your life. My beloved, please take note of that sentence. It expresses an eternal truth, a truth that has no compromise. If you blame anyone else, you have not taken responsibility for yourself. If you blame yourself, you have not taken responsibility for yourself. For when you take full and final responsibility for yourself, there is no need to blame, because now all of your attention is focused on transcending yourself. And when you are engaged in the process of self-transcendence, there is no room or need for blame. For blame is the opposite of self-transcendence. in that it seeks to fix guilt upon certain people and say that they are bad and that they will remain bad indefinitely. For what was done in the past can never be undone, and therefore these people have the blame for it forever. This, my beloved, is the Cain consciousness. This, my beloved, is the predominant consciousness of the Middle East. What can break the situation? Well, as I have said, there are indeed some of the more advanced members of the 12 tribes of Israel who have embodied in other parts of the world. These life streams have to some degree transcended the consciousness of the Middle East. Yet, what has not yet happened on a worldwide scale is that the members of the 12 tribes that embody outside of the Middle East have gained a perspective on what is happening in the Middle East. These life streams have not yet seen through the Cain consciousness. So the greatest potential for changing the status quo in the Middle East is that these more advanced life streams come to the recognition of what is going on in the Middle East and then use that awareness to reach out to their brothers and sisters from their own tribes that are still embodied in the Middle East. This does not mean that these life streams, of whom many have embodied in Christian countries, need to go down there and try to convert the people in the Middle East to Christianity. This is, at the present level of consciousness, a grave mistake, for it will only be seen as an outside intrusion. What is needed is that the more advanced life streams adopt a more universal attitude, a peace and a balanced approach to conflict. And this is the universal message that needs to be brought to the Middle East. The other thing that needs to be brought to the Middle East is that the more advanced life streams who live in more modern countries, countries that have a long-standing tradition for democracy and economic progress, can help their brothers and sisters in the Middle East overcome their fear of progress, even their fear of democracy, even their fear of freedom. This, then, my beloved, is one of the main hurdles that stand in the way of progress in the Middle East, namely that so many people there are afraid of change. An important part of this mission would be to help the life streams in the Middle East overcome the illusion that they are God's chosen people and that their traditional culture and lifestyle is somehow ordained by God and thus should be maintained at all costs. My beloved, it is not rational in this day and age that certain Jewish groups maintain customs, even hair and dress style that is centuries old. It is not rational that certain Arab groups seek to stop the clock of progress, seeking to maintain a culture that died over a century ago. Thus, my beloved, what needs to happen is that the more advanced life streams who have lived and grown up in Western nations seek to help their brothers and sisters who are still in the Middle East overcome their fear of progress, their fear of material and technological progress, their fear of economic progress, their fear of political progress, their fear of democracy and freedom, even their fear of social progress, especially relating to giving women equal status in society. Yet, my beloved, sad as it is to say, even the most advanced life streams from the 12 tribes that have grown up in the West are a far cry from being able to fulfill this mission because they are still too rigid in their own approach to life and especially in their approach to religion. As I said, many of these life streams are today Christians, and they have done to the Christian religion exactly the same as the most orthodox and rigid Jews have done to Judaism, and as the most orthodox and rigid Muslims have done to Islam. They have turned it into an exclusivist religion, and they continue the age-old game of saying that their religion is the only true one, and therefore they are better than all non-believers. My beloved, this insanity must come to an end, and it will come to an end only when those who have either completely transcended the consciousness of the 12 tribes, or who are not members of the 12 tribes, but have come from other systems of worlds to raise up planet Earth, take up their intended role to be the representatives of the Christ consciousness on Earth. Thus, my beloved, once again, we come back to the fact that is the underlying fact on planet Earth. Although planet Earth is a crossroads with life streams from many different backgrounds, it is a fact that when all of these life streams embody on the same planet, they become part of the same web of life. And it is a fact that when one part of this web is raised, it will pull up everyone else. As Jesus said, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." Thus, if you take a tablecloth and pull up one corner, you will eventually raise the entire cloth. So, my beloved, once again, we look to those who are the most advanced spiritual seekers on this planet to be the forerunners for breaking the rigidity of the old consciousness by raising their own consciousness and striving to put on the mind of Christ. Only in this way can we see a domino effect that will eventually reach the Middle East. Thus, my beloved, I must tell you that it is time for you who are open to the teachings of the Ascended Host to step up to a higher awareness of the Middle East. It is time for you to realize that there is a human form of compassion, and there is a divine form of compassion. I understand that many of you have compassion for the people in the Middle East and would like to see them live constructive and peaceful lives without risking being killed or maimed through some suicide bombing or a missile or bomb being dropped upon them. Yet, my beloved, you need to recognize that what is happening in the Middle East is an outplaying of events. That, as I said, are simply the school of hard knocks. Thus, you must not focus your consciousness on trying to soften the blows in the short term, for it will indeed be necessary that the blows be allowed to hit with full force, so that the knocks eventually become so hard that the lesson penetrates through the walls of rigidity and spiritual blindness that these life streams have erected around their minds. Thus, my beloved, what must be allowed to happen in the coming years in the Middle East is that the Cain consciousness in all of its subtle manifestations is allowed to outplay itself until it becomes so obvious that people begin to see it for what it is and say, this can no longer be allowed on our planet. This recognition will obviously start first in countries that are far away from the Middle East, and it has indeed already started to happen in a number of countries in Europe and to a much lesser degree in the United States. I must tell you, beloved, that even Russia and the Russian government, as flawed as it is, has a more realistic view of the situation in the Middle East than the current American government, and especially the American media, which is so heavily influenced by a pro-Israel basis, bias, that they refuse to call a spade a spade. So, my beloved, I ask you not to envision that you are putting out every little fire that springs up in the Middle East. For if you use your rosaries, your prayers, and even your power of vision to put out all these fires, you will only prolong the process of the fires eventually becoming so big that they become impossible to ignore, and thus people need to start looking for the cause of the fire instead of just looking at the smoke, trying to blow it away from their own borders. Thus, my beloved, I ask you to call for the enlightenment of all people to the reality of what is going on in the Middle East, the reality of the Cain consciousness being the driving force behind these conflicts, the reality that these outer conflicts, no matter what might seem to be their physical cause, will never stop until the spiritual cause, the psychological cause, is addressed head on. My beloved, it takes an act of will to free oneself from the Cain consciousness, and so far that will has been missing in the Middle East, partly because some people refuse to see the Cain consciousness, and partly because some have glorified it, indeed thinking that their God will reward them for acts of revenge. Thus, my beloved, sometimes things must be allowed to act out to such a degree that they become obvious even to the most dense of minds. Yet for you to be able to hold this vision, You need to be willing to confront your fears. Thus, I would give you a few words of comfort. My beloved, the area of the Middle East has a lot of desert. There is a lot of sand in that desert. Now think back to your childhood, of how you played in sandboxes. My beloved, a sandbox is a wonderful place for children to play because the sand is soft. Thus, they have a limited potential for hurting themselves. What I desire you to see is that the Middle East is a sandbox for some very immature life streams. Yes, my beloved, I realize that these life streams do not only have plastic shovels, but have indeed modern weapons that are quite powerful. Yet I still desire you to hold the vision that they are children playing in the sandbox. And although there is a negative potential, I desire you to hold the vision that they will not hurt themselves or others. Indeed, I desire you to hold the vision that these children playing in the sandbox will suddenly have a shift in consciousness that makes them able to laugh at themselves and start enjoying playing in the sandbox rather than fighting over the toys or over whether a particular line in the sand should be drawn here or a few miles east or west, north or south. I desire you to hold the vision that they will start playing together rather than working against each other. Thus, I must tell you that even though the warring in the Middle East is likely to escalate, we of the Ascended Host consider it a minor conflict on the horizon of the transition to the Golden Age. The greater potential for a larger war is indeed a war over energy, and although such a war will also involve the oil resources in the Middle East, it is a war that can only come from beyond the Middle East and will not be caused by the nations there. Thus, I desire you to separate things out and realize that the warring in the Middle East that you see flaring up right now is not a planetary issue, but is a localized phenomenon caused by the Cain consciousness and the warring among the most rigid and immature members of the original 12 tribes of Israel. This, my beloved, has been a long discourse, and although there is surely more to say about this topic, I have at least given you some thoughts to ponder, thoughts that I trust you will use to gain insights from within. And thus, as time is right, we will give you more about this situation and about the situation in the world. For now, I seal you in the love of the mother's heart, the love of the mother who desires all of her children to play in harmony, whether they play in the sandbox, or on the swing set, or run through the meadow, in the pure joy of feeling the grass under their feet, the sun on their skin, and the wind through their hair. My beloved, be of good cheer, for I am the representative of the Divine Mother on earth, and I desire you to know that I am joyful and optimistic about the future of this planet, even about the future of the Middle East. My beloved, do not hold the vision that things will get worse. Hold the vision that suddenly some breakthrough will occur that will make people come to their senses and cry out for peace instead of crying out for revenge. My beloved, love conquers all, and it is only an absence of love that prevents the situation in the Middle East from being conquered. Yet that love rains freely upon the just and the unjust, and it is only a matter of a slight change of the dial of consciousness that people can start accepting that love, rather than seeing themselves as being unworthy to receive it. And once they have that perfect love, it will cast out their fears and the need for revenge that springs from the fear that something worse could happen in the future if they do not take action now. This is the fear that makes them afraid of turning the other cheek out of fear that they will appear weak. But my beloved, the only solution to the conflict in the Middle East is that someone must start turning the other cheek and keep turning the other cheek until they have finally made the evil of those who keep hitting them so obvious that not only the world can see it, but that these people can see it themselves. Thus, my beloved, had Israel been willing to embrace the principle of turning the other cheek, they would long ago have made Hamas and Hezbollah irrelevant, for neither the Palestinians nor the Lebanese people would have embraced these organizations whose entire purpose is revenge. Thus, my beloved, I seal you in the love of the Mother, which can consume all your fears. Fear not what can happen in the Middle East. Focus on becoming the open door for the flame of ecstatic peace to stream through your chakras into the Middle East. Invoke that flame, become that flame, and consume all unlike it. Thus I seal you in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and the Divine Mother. I seal you in the name of the Great Divine Director, who is truly directing the experiment we call planet Earth. I seal you in a flame of ecstatic peace, which is able to consume all warring on this planet when it is allowed to flow through those who have become the open door.